There?
I am.
All right. Whenever you guys are ready, go ahead.
Hey, Rhino.
Hey, Mark. How are you?
Good. How you doing?
Oh, awesome. Awesome.
Yeah. This is the last couple of years you've been in the WWF, but before that, you really kind of made your name in the ECW and the WCW.
Actually, I was in ECW, came to WWF. It was WWF at the time, and then that's when Vince bought WCW, and they kind of did like a whole invasion type WCW.
Right.
I was part of the WCW when it was part of WWF, and now WWF, everybody knows it's WWE, and all the W's.
All the W's, yeah. Now, ECW, though, I mean, you know, it's interesting because when you were over there, that was when they signed with TNN, and actually the ECW did pretty well for a while there.
Yeah, it did well, and, you know, and it was a lot of fun, and that was right before Raw went to TNN, and I had a blast, you know, and sometimes I miss ECW, but I really enjoy working with WWE, and, you know, it's definitely a treat.
Now, you were born in Detroit, right?
Yep, still live here.
You actually wrestled for real through high school and stuff, right?
Yep, wrestled in high school, and I wanted to go to college, but I really couldn't afford it, and, you know, and this is what I really loved, wrestling, and, you know, at that time in the early 90s, it wasn't as big as it was during the late 80s, you know,
right.
Hulk Hogan and Andre the Giant, and, you know, a lot of things were changing, you know, and I'm only about 6 foot, and when I was watching, the guys were, you know, 6'4", 6'5", you know, that's the average size guy, you know, over 300 pounds, and growing up as a kid, I'm like, wait a second, you know, I would love to do that, but I'm never going to be big enough, right?
Right.
So then things started changing when Shawn Michaels, I think he's 6 foot, 6'1", became champion. Bret Hart, 6'1", 245 pounds, I think. So I'm thinking, okay, maybe I'm not, you know, maybe I'm not too small. So looked up a school, went there, and wrestled for about, I think, 6 years before I signed. No, 5 before I signed with.
So you actually went to Ontario to learn, right?
Yeah, in Windsor, right across the border. The school's still there. It's turned out some good students. They work all over the world as far as Germany and England. There's stuff going over there.
And we have one out here in Boston with Killer Kowalski has a school of his own as well.
Yeah, that's a really, really good school. A-Train came from Killer Kowalski School, Triple H. The list goes on and on. So.
If you go to a good school, how did you end up then going from this school in Windsor, Ontario, to actually getting your first gig as a paid wrestler?
Well, my first match was for the school had a little promotion still running called BCW, and I remember my first match. I didn't make any money, but it was March 10th, 1995, and it was a blast. I went out there, and you know, and never really. I'm lucky. I had good parents growing up as a kid because you know they taught me right from wrong, and a lot of kids I went to high school with, they got caught up in that wrong scene. You know, drugs and this and that, and I never did. But when I went out there, you know, it was a high that I can't explain to this day, and I still get that high every time I go out in front of the people. And there was only like 300 people there, but March 10th, 1995, I remember going out there and going through the match, and it was only a 7-minute match, but man, the people were into it, and you know, I just felt, you know, I was on that high for like a week afterwards, and I knew this is what I wanted to do for the rest of my life. So.
Well, it's interesting what kind of a business this is. It's a huge business, and of course, the biggest businessman involved is Vince McMahon, who's now your boss. What's it like working with him, and, you know, was it an adjustment at all going into that league?
You know what? It's great working for the McMahon family because, you know, they're very open. You know, you work with them, you know, one-on-one, and they're a great family. What you see on TV, you gotta realize, hey, this is entertainment. They're doing this for a reason. You know, they really don't act like that. You know,
I would hope most people realize that because most people couldn't act like that and be successful business people.
Yeah, exactly. But they're a great family to work for, and you know, and the first thing they said to me, you know, welcome aboard, and you know, and And my birthday came around. They sent me a birthday card. I was off for like 14 months, and I was cleared. And they didn't send me back to work because I think they knew I had a baby on the way. So they figured, okay, we'll pay them a couple extra months, and, you know, and so he can sit home and, you know, be there when the baby's born, and, you know, this and that. And anybody that has that have children, they know babies come at any time, you know.
Right.
So they come when they want to come. So, but yeah. So you know, and Vince, first time he seen my baby, he came over, and you know, and he was just, you know, he loves children, and he just, you know, talked to me and my wife for a good 10-15 minutes. And, you know, he's a really good guy and really good to work for, the whole family. You know.
And now, how did you end up going from Terry Guerin to Rhino? I know, obviously, the gore move that you make has got something to do with it.
Yeah, well, you know, I picked up the gore. I was doing it, the name I picked up in ECW, I was doing it on the independent, not as a finisher. I started off as Terry Richards, and then I went to Terry Rhino Richards. Someone had mentioned, you know, why don't you use Rhino? No one's ever used it before, and you want something someone's going to remember, you know.
That's good advice.
Yeah, you definitely want a name someone's going to remember. You know, they hear it once, and, you know, like The Rock, you know. Everybody can, that's pretty easy to remember.
Right.
So I changed it from Terry Rhino Richards to Rhino Richards for, I'd say, 2 years. And then when I went to ECW, they had a Steven Richards. They go, oh, we got to change your name. I go, why don't we just use Rhino? Oh, that's great. We'll do that.
There you go.
And the rest is history.
Yeah. Now, I understand in 2001, in November, you got you got really hurt. Tell me about that and what the decision you had to make was.
I had to have neck surgery and cervical fusion, C6, C7, where they went in and took the disc out. It was a herniated disc, and I worked with it for about 2.5 months. And, you know, and then as a wrestler, you know, granted, it's entertainment, but you know, you're dealing with bumps and bruises because you're working 4 nights out of the week, and you know, it takes longer for things to heal. And this wasn't going away. And when I started to know weakness in my tricep, and I couldn't do push-ups, I was thinking, okay, this isn't like everything else over the years. This isn't going away. So we had it checked out in MRI, and first thing the doctor said, it's like, wow, you're definitely going to need surgery. This is pretty bad. And went and seen the doctor that did Austin's surgery, mm-hmm. Steve Austin, down in San Antonio, Dr. Youngblood. And, he went over a few things. And Vince, first person, came up to me, you know, after I found out I needed surgery, because I found out at the show, the doctor read the MRI at the show. And Vince came over to me and, you know, told me everything was going to be all right, and you know, they'd take care of me, and as far as financially, and you know, just go, if there's any surgeon I'd like to see, recommended Steve Austin. He goes, you can go anywhere in the country, you know, or in the world, you know. So it was very comforting, you know.
Yeah.
Because when you're staring a year in the face on the sidelines, you know, something that you love is taken away from you. Pretty rough. So
yeah. So but, you went from November of 2001, and you didn't wrestle again until February of 2003, right?
Right. I was off for 14 months until I was cleared, because it's a waiting game, really. You just have to wait for that bone to fuse together.
The anxiety must have been incredible for you.
Oh, it was crazy. I mean, I'd go out and do appearances here and there, but you really want to get in the ring. And I'll never forget my first match. I was down in OVW. It was in January, I think it was January 10th, and it's like a little farm league. You go down there and you wrestle around and, you know, get back into the swing of things and try to knock some ring rust off. And I was so nervous, I called my wife like 5 times. She was like pretty supportive, and she's like, okay, just be careful, and you know what you're doing out there. And then the first time I wrestled for WWE in WWE's ring was in February. So,
you know, you just mentioned your wife, and you know, there's a lot of people don't realize all the traveling you folks do. How difficult is that with a wife and a young child?
You know what? Before the child, it was all right. You know, because we're home. We're home on Wednesdays, and we leave Saturday morning. So, you know, sometimes you get home early afternoon on Wednesdays, sometimes late at night, depending on what time your flight gets in. But so you're home about 2 days out of the week. Sometimes you pick up an appearance, so you might not be home that week. But, I mean, it's all right because, you know, you talk a lot on the phone. And but with a child, oh, I'll tell you, I leave for the road and I think about the baby, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and you miss a lot. And, you know, and there's only, the window's only so large for, you know, the opportunity to, you know, make it in wrestling and make some money in wrestling, set it aside and retire, and then you're home all the time.
Yeah, it is.
Your wife crazy.
Yeah, it's a very difficult thing, though, to say goodbye to the baby and stuff.
Yeah.
I can understand that.
It is. Do you have any children?
I do. I have two.
Oh,
so
okay.
I can understand that completely, and I did a lot of stuff on the road, and it's tough.
It is. It's really tough, but, you know, hopefully I can provide a good future for her with love and, you know, and good education.
Well, let's talk about the more important things in the world. That is SummerSlam.
Oh yeah,
Sunday at 8 o'clock. Tell us who you are fighting and tell us you're going to win, right?
Well, yeah. I'm sorry, I could go on and on about my child, but definitely I'm wrestling. It's a fatal four way. Me, Eddie Guerrero, Chris Benoit, and Tajiri. I'm going to go there, beat some ass, and then take the U.S. title. For the U.S. title, Eddie Guerrero is the current champion. Definitely, you can only see it on pay-per-view. The event sold out. So,
and Guerrero's going to go down, and
that?
Rhino's going to be the new champ.
Oh, exactly. Well, see, anybody can beat anybody. I could pin Tajiri and win the title. Chris could pin me, and he can win the title. It's not going to happen. I can definitely start talking a lot of smack. But, yeah, I'm thinking I'm going to pin Eddie Guerrero or Chris Benoit. I might pin Tajiri if I feel, you know, if I feel a little squirrely, but...
And if you get a little extra strength today, you can pin McMahon.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
He'll be there. Hell, I might just take him out in the back and pin him there.
There you go. Sunday at 8 o'clock on SummerSlam, and a lot of luck with the baby.
Well, thank you very much.
Because I understand exactly where you're coming from. Your heart's with the baby is not sometimes in the ring, but
yeah. You
got to do what you got to do.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, good luck on Sunday.
Well, thank you very much.
And I hope next time we speak that you're the champion.
Yes, the U.S. champion.
All right. Take care.
Take it easy.
Bye-bye.
Bye.